the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast.
So the reason we do this live every week is because we actually have a live person who's doing the soundtrack to that. Like they perform it live. Those are live
There's
drums.
There's a DJ that moves in.
Yes.
And then now we talk over the part where he packs up his stuff.
Yeah, it's a little loud. We'd prefer him to be a little more quiet.
Yeah. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's January 1st, 2019.
Woo! Happy New Year. Oh, man, I'm so sorry I couldn't make it to last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I muddled through. I just did sort of a monologue.
That's fair. That's fair.
You didn't listen to it yet, so.
I haven't had a chance to pick it up yet.
Yeah, it was like 15 minutes long. I just sort of talked about.
Easy. I mean, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah. We're started on a new year now. And I actually thought to get started with the new year, I would sit down and watch a couple games.
Ooh, that's a wonderful decision. It's a great decision.
We were talking about the Christmas games, and you watched some Christmas games well. And I think overall, one thing we had been talking about was, let's wait till Christmas before we start making, like, having real thoughts about the season.
I mean, and wasn't that a great decision in the case of some teams that we had some negative thoughts about?
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably always have negative thoughts about Houston, but...
and I love how you know exactly what I was talking about. Yeah,
but like, you know, we were earlier in the season worried about Oklahoma City and Houston, and they seem to be fine.
No longer.
Let's talk about the Western Conference, how it's shooken out a little bit, because I would say it seems like there's a chance that the Denver Nuggets are for real.
Okay. I mean, especially because they've been one of the most injured teams in the league, and they're still chugging along.
Yeah, they're about to win tonight against the Knicks, and they will be 24-11. That's beyond the...
I think that's the second best record in the league, basically. Maybe behind the Bucks and the Raptors.
It's behind the Bucks, and it's behind the Raptors, depending... It is behind the Raptors.
Yeah.
It's always weird. I tend to only count losses, but like, you know...
That's fair.
But the Raptors have won four more games than them, so that's significant. So 24-11 is beyond the it's just randomness that they're at the top of the conference.
No, it's not random. Denver is for real.
Yeah.
I mean, we're almost halfway into the season, right? Like, some point in January, every team will have played 42 games.
What was the thing they did? Did they change their did they add an assistant coach? Is that what they did? No.
They just got older.
They just got better. And
better. Right? They didn't add anybody significant. They added Isaiah Thomas, who hasn't played.
That's it. No, that's what it is.
They added Nick Young, who they waived.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really anything other than just Jokic being a year older,
uh-huh.
Gary Harris being a year older.
Jamal Murray
being a year older. Will Barton being a year older. You know, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Yes.
You know, just killing it on the block.
They're at the top of the conference right now.
Yes, they are.
Golden State is also near the top.
Yep.
Oklahoma City and Houston have both sort of recovered from there. Although I would say Houston is still probably...
Houston's the hottest team in the league right now.
They are. But Chris Paul's out at the moment.
And that's why they're the hottest team in the league. That's my Chris Grace impression. Do you like it?
How long is he out for?
I think he's
indeterminate groin time.
Yeah.
So I would say there's still they still need to show that they can win like 8 out of 10 games with their full lineup, including, you know, all of their pieces new and having without Ariza and all that stuff.
No Ariza.
You know,
Carmelo Anthony.
And I think we talked before, I still think they need a model that's different than James Harden scoring 40-plus points. He's scored 40-plus in like 4 or 5 games in a row.
And he's scoring I saw the stat on Twitter the other day. In Steph Curry's like insane 400 three-pointer MVP season, he was scoring just over 6 points per game on pull-up threes, right? Unassisted pull-up threes,
right?
James Harden is scoring damn near 12 points per game on pull-up threes.
So this is just him coming over half court and just deciding to shoot it?
Bombing, yes. Huh? He's insane right now. It's out of control and should be illegal, but not illegal. I love it. So
The two LA teams are hanging around.
They're hanging around. The Clippers and the Lakers are seem like their fates are intertwined. We're looking at a real strong chance that they
are like a 4-5 first round matchup. I mean,
we'd have to have both of them be better than either Oklahoma City or Houston,
right?
Which is tough, but right. You know, I mean, when LeBron comes back, you know, who knows? You know, I don't know.
By a side note, I sold my tickets for tomorrow's Thunder Lakers
nice
game.
Did you get a big, nope,
literally sold them like right near face value.
Ah.
So actually basically lost money on the service fees.
Taking a dive.
Yeah. It probably didn't help that LeBron went down.
Yes.
And yeah, so tough. His status was in question.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's tough. If you would have sold him earlier in the year, you probably, well, I don't know. It's tough to sell him too high above face value before
yeah.
the day of.
I tend to put them into StubHub and just put whatever StubHub decides is the recommended price.
Hey,
yeah. And then StubHub kept dropping their recommended price the less likely it was that LeBron was playing in the game.
Because
you want to see a LeBron Westbrook matchup.
You certainly do.
I mean, there's the Westbrook Ingram matchup
that we're
going to see.
buy your tickets, baby.
Talking about the rest of Western Conference, Portland is still there, but
yeah.
they're not as high as they were.
And they are in overtime with the Kings as we speak.
Uh-huh. Let's get a little check on that. Except I'm on the wrong day. And then San Antonio has sort of crept back up into.
Yeah.
Portland is up 4 with 20 seconds left.
Great.
They should win that game. If I use more.
So, yeah. San Antonio's back, and then the Kings are hanging around. Dallas has fallen back.
Yeah, which makes sense. Jazz
have popped up a little bit.
What happened to the Grizzlies? The
Grizzlies have fallen back a bit, to my chagrin. What's up, Grizz? Come on.
And the thing is, in the Western Conference, falling back means you drop 3 games in the loss column, and then you're like next to last in the conference.
Yes, yeah.
So it's still a little bit, but it's starting to shake up a little back into an order that we would have thought.
I mean, you know, minus the Clippers
and the Nuggets.
No, I mean, I think we all expected the Nuggets to be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected them to be top.
Not at the top. Yes, you are correct.
But I think most people did expect, like, you know, Memphis and Sacramento and Dallas to be near the bottom.
Yeah.
Anyway. This is all just to say that you watched some Christmas games.
Oh, I certainly did.
And I watched a couple games yesterday. So how are you feeling about the stuff that you watched?
It's interesting, right? So a couple of the games were blowouts, right?
Uh-huh.
There were basically 2 good games on Christmas, and it was the Celtics versus the Sixers, which uh-huh. was exciting and fun. You know, you hit up those overtimes. And then you also had the Rockets and the Thunder, which was another exciting and fun game that James Harden just went supernova.
Yeah.
Then you had, you know, the quote unquote rivalry between the Bucks and the Knicks, which really that whole rivalry just seems to be the Knicks talking a bunch of shit and the Bucks going like, "We beat you all right. the time." And yes, they did lose that first game where Giannis got stepped over, but mm-hmm. like the Knicks are not a threat to the Bucks. The Bucks don't see them as a threat.
I completely missed the Knicks Bucks game because I was getting ready to watch some games on Christmas. I wasn't going to be able to watch them straight through. I believe you had a nice long bout of watching games.
I literally did nothing on Christmas but watch basketball. It was amazing. It was a gift to myself. I told myself.
Bucks and the Knicks was over before I even like kind of woke up.
Yep.
Because it started at like 9 a.m. our time or something like that.
I've been dog sitting and the dog wakes up.
Ah, okay.
And if you don't walk the dog, you get whined at.
Yes.
It is a lot. So sometimes it's easier just to get up at 7 o'clock and walk the dog.
Yeah. And then you also saw Lakers.
I saw a bunch of Lakers games, and I was what a fun communal thing to do is to go to like a wings bar and order a bunch of wings and watch the Lakers lose on a last second shot by Bogdan Bogdanovich. truly what a nightmare. We were up by so much, and then we just pissed that game away. It was a complete nightmare. And I don't have a lot of friends who you know, are Sacramento basketball fans. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine who just moved into town is a Sacramento basketball fan.
Oh.
And he was shoving it in my face at my New Year's party. Oh. And I was just so mad.
This is your friend Mike Bibby?
This is my friend Mike Bibby. And he shoved it in my face by being incredibly strong. And,
yeah, by getting jacked.
Getting jacked.
Carrot top style,
yeah,
I would
say. He truly, he took a champagne bottle and he just chopped the top of it off with his hand. It was impressive and scary. So Mike Bibby is actually not allowed at my friend's house anymore, which is a sad thing.
And then you watched some more Lakers games.
I watched another Lakers game. I watched them play the Clippers this last week. And they were playing so well against the Clippers. And then they gave up a, like, basically 30-0 run and lost the game.
Yeah, that tend not to be good for your...
That was pretty bad. it was so disheartening to watch them just... give the fuck up in that game.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've played poorly since LeBron has been out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have not yet talked about how the Lakers beat the Warriors by 26 points on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a week ago, and now we've had you know, 3 games of...
Was that the game where he got injured?
That was the game he got injured.
And it was fairly early.
It was in the third quarter.
Oh, third quarter.
So he stayed
away. But enough
away.
Time for them to have come back.
And they did come back a little, and then the Lakers put the gas pedal down again, yeah. Which was wild. And so, you know, we have, in the time that LeBron has been quote-unquote out, they've gone 2-2.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know why I quote-unquoted out. I think only just to say that he played half of the Warriors game.
Right.
But 2-2 is not enough. To float in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part, is where 2-2 without LeBron, I don't know, I'm kind of like thanking my lucky stars.
Right.
That feels like a good thing.
Yeah.
But you just can't rest on your laurels in this bloodbath of a Western Conference.
I don't think anyone should rest on laurels. As far as I know, I think laurels are like leafy greens that are given to you when you win a film festival.
Well,
just think, like, how comfortable can it be? Why rest on them?
Leafy greens can be comfortable. I mean, I guess if you're thinking like a coniferous green might be the problem.
It's more like a wreath, right?
Yeah.
That's so not like, leafy, I guess.
Yeah, it depends on... you can make a leafy wreath or you can make a coniferous wreath. Like, in this time of year, right. It's more of a coniferous wreath.
If there's a full bed of romaine, like deadly romaine, but you zipped it up into like a mattress bag, I think you could get a nice sleep on that.
You definitely could. The only thing that's in my head now is just being a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Uh-huh.
It's like, how comfortable would it be to be a Cabbage Patch Kid, just grow from the ground?
Also, my grocery store is selling romaine. Is it okay again?
It's been okay for a month.
A full month?
A full month. Yeah, it was a week that they had to recall it all, and then they were just like, oh, we just got to wash it better.
Okay, well, I took all the romaine in that store and threw it in the trash, because I was like, this is expired. Anyway.
Did you dunk it, or did you three-point it?
Dunks
or three-pointers? The NBA's eternal question. Yeah,
I saw some of those ads while I was watching games.
Right.
Just like, Dr. J being like, you're asking me?
Yes, and
I was,
exactly.
Well, the weird thing was, I know that he dunked a lot, but for a second, I was like, I actually associate him, in my first association with Dr. J, is cool layups.
Okay.
Like that reverse layup.
Got it.
So that's what I think of him more as. And it's because he did amazing dunks, but he didn't do like powerhousey. He did the one against the one against Michael Cooper is insane.
And your association with him isn't for three-pointers because he played for the ABA?
No, it was just that it wasn't immediately in the nanosecond that I saw his face. I wasn't like dunk. I was like, ooh, cool reverse. So I wanted him to be like, the third option is cool reverse layups.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Kyrie do one earlier today. Very cool reverse layup.
That man has been playing crazy too.
He has. Let's talk a little bit about, I don't know if we want to, do you have other games you want to talk about? I want to talk a little bit about the games I watched today and yesterday.
I do have one more game I want to talk about, but it's its own segment.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I watched a couple games from yesterday. I watched, I would say 3 or 4 days ago, I watched the Warriors beat the Blazers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or okay. Did the Blazers beat the Warriors on the last second shot?
I watched the Warriors win a game against somebody.
Because the Blazers beat the Warriors on Dame's last shot in Oakland, unless they play each other in the playoffs.
Let me look back. Warriors beat the Blazers on December 29th, Saturday.
Okay. So then I'm thinking of the game that was earlier.
Yeah. This is the game I watched.
Got it. Cool.
So I have a prediction about the Warriors. I think they will not win the championship if Draymond Green does not develop an offensive game.
Ooh, Draymond is having a disaster of an offensive year.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by develop? Do you mean like something different than
no,
what he was before?
All I mean
just go
is,
back to being...
No, I just mean he has to take jumpers if they're open.
Okay.
That's literally all I mean.
And he's scared to right now.
It's obvious that he's scared to, and it grinds their entire offense to a halt. Yeah. Now, they still have talented enough players that they can... You know, throw it to Kevin Durant with 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and he shoots it over whoever.
Yes.
But all of the things that I have loved about the Warriors and watching them play basketball, you know, what's the football thing? Like yoga bonito? That's the soccer thing.
Oh, the beautiful game.
Yes.
Yes.
That is what the Warriors have embodied and what has made it palatable that they have such an overpowered team.
You said, what is the football thing?
I said football, I know.
Yoga Bonito. And I was like, are you doing a Dalzim thing?
No, I was... You know that tight end?
Yoga Bonito.
That tight end, Yoga Bonito?
Yes. I was like, he's a
Falcon.
And
what's weird is when I said football in my head, I literally saw the word F-U-T-B-O-L.
And I mean, I got it as soon as I thought about the beautiful game. But
because if you play an aesthetically pleasing version of basketball, you can be forgiven a lot. And
yes,
also your dominance can be forgiven.
Yes.
So this is like the one fly in the ointment with them. And he, to be fair, contributes a lot to beautiful basketball with his passing.
And his defense.
And his defense. But it is maddening. And like, if I was a Warriors fan, I would be incensed every time he gets a wide... And I'm not talking about three-pointer. He does get wide-open three-pointers that he passes up. But he gets wide-open, like, free-throw line jumpers.
Yeah.
Because
people just leave him. They leave him like they leave Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. You have to take it.
Here's the thing. Everyone in the league and around the league has talked about how Markelle Fultz forgot how to shoot.
Yeah.
Right, because he got a hitch in his shot, and he doesn't have the confidence to take shots. Right, it doesn't feel like people are talking about how Draymond forgot how to shoot.
Yeah,
right. The man was like a 35-37% 3-point shooter.
Yeah,
in like the good years.
Yeah,
and
he's never
there anymore.
Never a great form. He has kind
no,
of like
he's
a,
always kind of looked like he's shot putting the ball.
But. It's just so painful to watch them throw like three amazing passes, get it to him. Then everybody catches up on defense.
Yeah.
And then he tries to drive and kick, which like half the time ends up with a pretty cool alley-oop and half the time ends up like whenever he puts the ball on the ground, I'm just like, oh, I'm worried about this possession.
It's a real nightmare.
So this is my prediction. I think that they are extremely vulnerable if he does not even take two more jumpers per game.
And it's I don't even think you're asking him to make them.
No, I'm not. I actually have never, if I was ever a coach, which I never will be, but whenever I think about basketball, I don't care that much about whether shots go in. I still want to have somebody like, I'm sure no one in our audience wants to do this for me, have someone edit a game together where you never see whether the ball goes in or not. You only see the shots. And see if I can tell you who won the game.
Wow.
Because I would love to just have a metric of like, and I'm sure coaches must have this, but just like percentage of our possessions that ended up in shots that we want to take.
Okay.
That's it. Like, if we do that, we'll live with the results.
It evens out, especially over the course of a 7-game series.
Yeah, and also sometimes if you do that, then you can be like, okay, that other team was just better than us.
Yeah.
They're better at shooting basketballs than us. But we can control which shots we choose to take.
And which shots we help them decide that they get to take.
Yeah. And I think it's compromising the flow of the offense, but I would bet that him not taking them also hurts Clay, Stephen, and KD.
Yeah.
Because it means that they can load up on them. It's basically 4-on-5 when they're on offense.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction based on the games that I watched the Warriors play.
Yeah.
Then from yesterday, I watched Boston San Antonio. Actually, there it was funny because Davis Bertans was shooting very well and had a moment late, similar, where he didn't shoot a three-point, a wide-open three-pointer, tried to force a pass to DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's flashbacks of, like, this frustrations I'm having with Draymond.
Yeah.
And that game was fine. Notably, though, Gordon Hayward played 21 minutes and scored 0 points.
Oof.
God,
it's such a bummer that he got injured.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Because Boston is not the world-beating team that we thought they were going to be, even with Kyrie going insane.
Yeah. Their fourth quarter lineup, they basically were ahead for most of the game and then gave it up. And their sort of clutch lineup was Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kyrie, Horford, and...
Smart. Yeah.
And then I got to see some, like, LaMarcus Aldridge, Al Horford possessions that were just, like, the kind of game where you walk into the YMCA.
Hoga Bonito.
Yeah. You walk into the YMCA, you see two tall old men playing basketball, and you turn around and just go, like, let's find somewhere else to play.
I'll use the elliptical.
They're both effective and whatever, but it's just so boring to watch.
Speaking of tall old men playing basketball at the pickup games, the next game I want to talk about is my bow, 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 yearly high school friends pickup basketball game.
Oh.
I played some pickup basketball on Sunday morning at Live Oak Park in Manhattan Beach, California.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was wild. We held the court against all oncomers.
How is this possible?
Does this have
your extremely tall friend that's never blocked your shot?
No, he wasn't there, but I did have all my other extremely tall friends. Uh-huh. And the only challengers were four kind of shy college sophomores.
How many, is this 5-on-5?
We were playing 4-on-4 on a short court.
Okay, so there were four of you.
So there were nine of us, right? And we would like play 4-on-4 against ourselves. And then when
this,
somebody
this
else
claim of we held the court is getting less impressive.
It's not impressive at all. Because I said it and it
you're
was
saying,
not impressive.
When you say we held the court, you have two of the three teams competing for the court.
That is correct, yes.
So as long as one of those two teams is winning.
Yeah, we never lost to the other team. We did lose to ourselves.
Right.
But I had a play where I was, so I have these glasses that are transition lenses, and it was very sunny outside. So it looked like I was wearing sunglasses on the court, and I couldn't see the basket. And I walked up into a three-pointer, and I drained it in this kid's face, and I was ecstatic. I was just like over the moon. And I talked a lot of shit all day.
Wow.
Which was great. And I talked shit from the sidelines, like full on, like narrating what was going on in the court style. And I talk shit on the court. After the games are over, we usually go get hamburgers at a place called Tomboys. So we were tied because we were playing to 7 because, we're dumb idiots who are old and can't play.
On a short court.
So we could rotate people in.
But to be fair, you dominated this court.
I dominated this court. We held this court. We defended home court. Pulled up for a two-pointer, yelled Tomboys and airballed it. It was a beautiful thing.
So you're a little bit like Philip Seymour Hoffman Along Came Polly.
100%. Okay. That is my vibe when I play. My other vibe is that I tripped while I was trying to make a cut, and I dove headfirst into my friend's hip while he was shooting the ball. Note that I fouled him so hard that they called the foul, the shot went in, but we were on the same team and we still got the ball back. That's how hard I fouled him. I had to take a second to realize that I was not concussed.
Wow.
It was the clumsiest thing I've done on a basketball court in 10 years, and wow. I'm very proud of it.
So where was your tall friend who's never blocked your shot?
He's in Utah. Not everybody gets home for the holidays.
I think what you're saying is he was scared to play you.
He was, you know what? I didn't think about it that way, but he ducked me.
Right.
He ducked me.
You're De'Aaron Fox.
Yes.
He's Lonzo.
Exactly. Andrew, if you hear this, just know you ducked me at Christmas, and I will not stand for it, okay? All right, I'm coming for you. He's getting married next year, and I can't wait to break his leg on the basketball game that we play before he gets married.
Oh, you put it into the universe, and it will
happen.
Um, So yeah, not a lot of fun NBA drama. People are home with their families.
The drama was, I tried to sell basketball to some people at a holiday party I went to.
The concept
and the idea of that basketball is a thing that they could very well be interested in, even if they don't like watching basketball.
Did you get the hack response?
No, I did not. Everyone was very respectful of my blathering.
Who are the people that you're selling it to?
I was trying to sell it to two people. I believe their names were Olivia and... I forget her name. Wendy, maybe. She's going to kill me.
Are those the children in Peter Pan?
Yes, Olivia, Wendy. I just watched Peter Pan Returns to get prepared. Oh, sorry, Peter Pan Live to get prepared for Mary Poppins Returns.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Lin-Manuel in my life now. I didn't do any of that. I'm lying.
I can say it on this podcast. I have another podcast that's musical theater. But I think Mary Poppins Returns for me is Lin-Manuel jumping the shark.
Ooh! Is it because of the haircut?
No, it's because he's not a great singer or actor. He's a great composer and lyricist.
Oh.
But like everybody knows he's not a great singer.
Yeah.
He's not a good actor either.
Bummer.
I really hope somehow this never gets to him.
we'll cut this out of the podcast. He's not listening to our basketball podcast, I hope.
I really hope that he's not.
But that doesn't mean that he can't try.
Yeah. I guess. Well, I came after Mary Poppins Returns. I came away with like the only reason he's in that movie is because of some political reason having to do with like something off screen. There's a reason off screen why he gets that role.
Oh, like he's got a bunch of Instagram followers and he got the role.
No, I mean like he controls who gets to make the movie of Hamilton, and maybe Rob Marshall, who directed Mary Poppins Returns, wants in on that, even though he's not going to.
I wonder if the Hamilton movie has any chance of being good. Oh, the other thing.
I mean, the material's good to most people.
I'm not going to say who are the most people that we're not.
It's being directed by John Chu, who directed Crazy Rich Asians.
Which is interesting. It's actually in production?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I don't think they're shooting.
But it's set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
David Diggs and I think somebody else from Hamilton did the NBA Christmas like pregame raps.
Oh yes,
was she from Hamilton? Did you see those?
I did not see these.
I didn't recognize her, and I recognized David Diggs because I really like Blind Spotting. But these were bad. They were not good.
Do you think they wrote them? My guess is they didn't.
I would also guess that they didn't, but they just like referenced like the players on the teams and they were bad and they like all played. It was like Nutty Professor style where each of them like played a different member of the family.
Ew.
It was just two people and it was real, real rough. And they had like the sing along at the bottom with the words with a head bouncing on them. It was baffling as to why ABC thought this was a great idea.
I don't know who the woman was. I'm trying to Google it, and apparently it's not the first time David Diggs has done NBA-related rapping.
Oh.
There's links to other things, and the Roots also have done.
Because here's the thing I feel. He's pretty known for being a Bay Area guy. It was weird to watch him wear other people's stuff and rap about them in a positive way. Right?
Yeah.
Like that to me, I feel like he's so solidly Bay Area that it was weird to watch him wear a Lakers thing and rap positively about the Lakers.
Yeah. He does have some LA connection. I forget just what it is.
California connection?
No, he has some LA connection at some point.
Got it. Well,
aside from that,
Twitter didn't like these. I didn't like them. It was kind of a mess, and I watched all five of them because, if you can recall, I watched 12 hours of basketball on Christmas.
Did you miss any of the Christmas games?
I took a nap at the second half of the Rockets game.
Ah,
so I missed a little bit of that, but I didn't miss anything else.
By the way, it's very cold. To us, it's cold, meaning that it's like in the 50s.
It's cold. Right now, it's in the 40s.
40s, yeah.
And that's, I mean, people are like, oh, Californians don't know that it's cold. It's like, motherfucker, this is cold. It's not like so cold.
Well, I mean, first of all, like we do understand what numbers are and temperatures. So like,
yeah. We understand what numbers are.
I would say solid. I mean, that should be the tagline.
Solid endorsement.
Yeah. I mean,
rule of threes. We understand what numbers are.
I mean, I think anywhere 40 is considered cold.
Yeah.
Now in Chicago, you may be like, hey, I'm so happy it's 40 and not negative, you know.
Yeah. Like at my mom's new place in Rio Rancho, it's 16 right now.
Right.
There's, but like on the East Coast,
is that in the desert?
It's in New Mexico, like near Albuquerque.
Is it what would it be during the day? Does the sun like heat it up?
Like 30.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But like Charleston, South Carolina, right? Right now, Charleston, South Carolina is 64 degrees.
Yeah.
Right? That's a full 20 degrees hotter than it is here in California.
Yeah. We know numbers.
It's 20
more.
That's 20. All right? Yeah. 20 is how many points you would put up if you want to be an all-star in the NBA.
Yeah.
If you put that up per game. I don't. How do you get into me being mad about to the? I'm just mad about the temperature. But I like it being cold. I'm just mad that people are like, "Ugh, Californians don't know cold." It's like it's fucking cold.
Yeah, I mean to be fair, most people have bad takes on California, having never lived here.
Yeah,
and jealous that they aren't. Don't
yeah.
One thing that I did, cause I moved here from New York City about 4 years ago, and one thing I actually read. I read a thing that was like, you should pick a city based on, you know, a lot of factors, but I don't necessarily pick a city based on weather. And because this article was, the claim of this article was like, you know, people move to California because of the weather and then they don't really notice or appreciate it. And that has not been my experience at all. People talk constantly about the weather here and always constantly positively about the weather.
Yes.
Like, especially in relationship to other cities in the country.
Like, I get it. It's not snowing. It's not going to snow in Southern California.
Yeah.
You know, it'll snow in the mountains. Like, California's got a bunch of people lament
that they don't see snow or something.
Yeah. Or people are like happy. Oh, I never have to shovel my driveway. It's like, okay, great. Yeah, you don't. Cool.
Did I tell you my model of like privilege based on weather?
No. I'm excited to hear it.
It's a way of thinking about privilege in a way that like I can relate to now that I live here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And the idea is this: if they came out with a thing that said to live to 100, all you have to do is go on a walk or hike every single day of your life.
Okay.
A 10 to 15 minute walk.
Yeah, that's easy.
By the way, is not far off. It's probably true.
That's easy. I'm from Southern California. Right. It's always a time when I can go for a 10 to 15 minute walk.
Right. But I live in Detroit. And at this time of year, it's actually pretty difficult to get outside to go take a hike somewhere because it's so cold and I have to put on all this gear and it's not very comfortable.
Well, now I understand privilege.
Now, if you did a walk every single day of the year, I would never say that you hadn't put the work in.
Yeah.
But you would also have to acknowledge that it's easier for you to take those 365 walks than for someone living in Detroit.
That's a pretty good way to explain it to somebody who... I imagine you could convince somebody who was like, I don't really get it.
Well, I have to explain privilege to this hikers club that I'm meeting with next week. So I had to come up with a metaphor specifically for them.
I'm just excited to go see your travails with the hiking club.
Yeah.
Where are you guys going to do Coldwater Canyon? You know.
You know, I've lived in LA for 4 years. I have hiked twice.
Yeah.
I should hike more. One time I hiked with my friend through Runyon.
Yes.
And then I hiked on my own in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Looking for a waterfall. I got to it and it was dried up.
Oh.
And that hike actually was like the Runyon one was just walking. Like a lot of what people call hiking in LA is just walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the one in Pasadena, there was a couple of like fairly treacherous little moments.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite hikes to do is like the Glendale Galleria. hike from one end at the bottom.
Well, you know, the Glendale Galleria, if you really want to go extended with that hike, is you go out the back and go to the Americana.
Yes, and then yes, absolutely.
Because then you got to traverse the, I think, is it Brand?
Yeah.
Boulevard?
The Brand at Americana. The Americana at Brand, yes. Yeah. You can hit up Din Tai Fung and, you know.
Well, what you can do is put your name on the list at Din Tai Fung and then go on a 90-minute hike. And then go to your table.
Yes, exactly. And this hike is great because you can buy fashionable clothes or a book or get a takoyaki. No.
Teppanyaki?
Taiyaki. Taiyaki, which is a grilled cheese that's shaped like a fish.
I will definitely get that.
It's so good.
This is an Asian thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know why there's an Asian thing of making like... sweet dessert cakes in the shape of fish, too.
It's that, too. It's just they also have an option for cheddar cheese.
I don't know why the fish thing is, like...
Neither do I.
This is, I think, a specifically Japanese thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a resolution.
Ooh!
So I you'll listen to last week's podcast at some point, but I didn't feel the need to make a resolution for every NBA team.
Yeah.
That's a very... When you start doing enough podcasts and looking at other media, you start to realize that a lot of us have the same ideas about what to do at different parts of the year. So the idea of, like, every team makes a resolution is a very common one right now.
Yes. And
there's nothing wrong with that, but, but I have a resolution for myself.
Okay.
Which is... I'm going to read less Reddit NBA.
Okay.
And
I like that.
And I'm going to read less I'm going to intake less media just so I can disparage it.
Okay.
And what I want to do more of is to watch more games and come up with independent takes on what I think is happening on the court.
I love that idea, right? Because I don't go to r/NBA because I think Reddit's a cesspool. It's my no good zone. I go to r/Hearthstone because I'm a garbage person who
plays. Are you on r/competitive HS?
No.
Oh, you should check that out.
No, I know about it. I don't go to it because all I want are the dumb memes.
Oh, you don't want to find out the latest net deck?
No, like if I need to, like it'll bubble up.
Okay.
Anyways, that's my great shame, is that I do have like that, and I never comment. I just like read it every once in a while when I'm like starving for stuff.
That's what I do in our stand-up. I read that and comment every once in a while.
Yeah,
and I don't. I'm in our magic as well. I never comment in there. Stand-up, actually, I will comment occasionally when someone's really. I mean, exposing yourself to Reddit in any way is kind of a horrible experience because it's like hanging out with a bunch of 20-year-old. Straight white dudes.
Yes.
And so you get the expected takes from them in every single subject matter like that you can think of. So I went to the Radiolab Reddit subreddit, and it still had like dicky hot takes on like one of the most like progressive liberal snowflakey podcasts there are.
Yes.
Anyway, so that this is my thought, that first of all, the things that bubble up from Reddit occasionally that are interesting are, we'll be missing some of those.
Yeah.
But as far as like all the writers and stuff that I despise Hardwood Paroxysm. Like, I think he's terrible.
Yeah.
I think he's a legitimately bad writer. I think he has bad takes on basketball. I think he's a coward in terms of like owning up to his previous claims. But, like, do I need to expose myself to, like, more of him? No, I don't.
No.
Like,
I mean, do you follow him?
I have a special feed list called NBA Twitter.
Got it.
That I'll dip into occasionally. I don't follow most of those guys. Same with, Snotty Drippin and all that stuff.
Got it. Yeah.
Like, once there's only so many times that I can say, like, these guys are just trolling people for views.
Yeah.
While I'm viewing their pages, you know? So, I am going to do my best to just watch games. I mean, I would love to even watch them without hearing the fucking commentary from the color commentators on the games. But, the people that I do admire in this area, like Cleaning the Glass and whoever the guy was that used to make those hexagonal shot charts.
Oh.
Goldsberry?
Goldsberry. I follow him on Instagram because that's where he's... and I love Goldsberry.
Is he back?
He's back. He's back. He's no longer with the Spurs. He's posting on Instagram a bunch of fun hexagons. I love hexagons.
Where's John Hollinger been? Does he still work for the Grizzlies?
He still works for the Grizzlies. He's their SVP.
Okay. That's also why they are dipping again. I mean, maybe I'll come out with an occasional rant about, why RPM sucks. I read a whole nother round of RPM articles recently, and it's just so frustrating that it's used at all when they refuse to release what the formula is.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's funny because it's not like a rigorous academic thing, right?
Well, they make it that.
Well, no, but they don't, right?
Because they're not behaving.
They're not behaving like an academic.
Yeah. Like thing. There is no way that anybody would be like, here's my new paper.
Yeah.
I want you guys to review my conclusions without reviewing any of my methodology.
Yeah.
That's right? Insane.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane, especially when you want to present yourself as a scientific person that attends a Sloan conference.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to tell people how you calculate your thing.
No, especially because it's not like even a competitive edge thing. Like, it's not like it was created by a team for a team. Yeah. It's just its own thing. Yeah. I mean, that is wild to me that it's not out there so people can pick at it.
Well, I read a recent... Also, pick at it and improve it.
Yes, that, I mean, that's what I mean by pick
at it. I read a recent thing about Real Plus Minus that was saying it's meant to be predictive, not fitted to previous results. Mm-hmm. And it said, similar to PER, is meant to be predictive. And I don't know if you remember, but Hollinger used to post season predictions for every player in the league.
Yeah.
That were so wrong. Like, they would come off, they were bad. They would come, and all, literally.
I mean, I'm sure I read them, because I read everything Hollinger posted.
All they are is, I could boil all of these predictive ones down. As far as the ones that we don't know the methodology for.
Yes.
The predictive potential of them is the players, the average of the players' last two seasons, plus or minus 10% based on how old they are.
Yeah.
If they're under 26, they get a plus 10%. If they're over 20, if they're 26 to 29, they get a, it's about the same.
Yeah.
Over 30, we just say they're going to be a little worse.
Yep.
And they're regularly wrong.
Okay.
Where we've talked about this before, players from 19 to 24 don't get better every year. They don't just incrementally automatically get better. Some of them do, and some of them definitely don't.
It's interesting because, like, the ones that do get better, right? If you predicted that they would get better, then it kind of usually adds up to about a 10% increase,
yeah,
or 10 to 15 to 20%. But you kind of just have to see it first to see if they're actually getting better.
Or not. And the ones that get worse don't get worse by 10%.
No. They get worse by holy fuck, they're out of the league worse.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe if there's big topics like that to talk about other people's work.
Yeah.
Also, I would love Real Plus Mine if it was a thing of, like, here's the formula and let's all work on improving it. Yeah. That would be cool too.
God, I'm so excited to be the hot take maestro on 2019's edition of Rule of Threes. I accept your gracious gift of letting me be the king of hot takes. Are you ready? Let me just come up with a hot take right now. Are you ready?
Sure.
The Chicago Bulls are going to follow Lauri Markkanen's hot shooting to a playoff spot in 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I just, are you proud of me? I just did a hot take.
Not impossible considering the Eastern Conference.
I just said it. He's going to do that 20% bump next year.
Yeah.
And Zach LaVine's going to be good enough to, like, play minutes, and they're not going to have Jabari Parker anymore. Wow. I'm all in on the Bulls being the seventh seed next year.
There you go. Do you have any resolution for NBA life?
I guess my NBA resolution is going to be to go to games this year.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to try to go to at least, two games a month.
Okay. I have a pitch for you.
What?
Let's open that up to be some Clippers games.
Oh, there were only ever going to be Clippers games. I can't afford anything else.
Because I have been looking at the Game Time app, which shows you, like, you know, upcoming games. And I was explaining to my husband, Eric, on the way back from Palm Springs this weekend. I was talking about these Lakers tickets that I sold for tomorrow and how expensive. Oh, he had looked for Lakers tickets for Christmas for me. And he was like, I can't believe how expensive they are. And I said, you know what's crazy? Is in that very same building, there's a professional basketball team. Actually, the other day, the Clippers were on TV, and he was like, are they from New Orleans? Because it said L.A. He was like, that's not another team in Los Angeles, is it? Like, yes, it is. I was like, you know what's crazy? Is the tickets that he was like, they were like $300 for Lakers tickets or whatever.
Yes, they were.
There's Clippers tickets for tonight that were like $7.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe tonight was Clippers Kings.
Yes.
Maybe.
No, Clippers Kings is the 29th. It's not Clippers Kings.
Okay. Whatever the Clippers game was tonight was cheap. And then there's $7, $9 tickets There's $10 tickets.
Yeah, it's wild. And I was telling my friend who just moved into town, and he was like trying to ask like, okay, but the Clippers have been good. Why aren't the seats more expensive? I was like, well, they're the Clippers.
Yeah.
And he was like, but I don't get it. They've been better than the Lakers for a long time. It's like, well, okay, but also they're the Clippers.
They'd have to be better. They'd have to be at this level for like 5 years.
5 years, they'd have to win a championship or two. And even then... I still don't think it's going to happen.
No. Their tickets will never be more than Lakers tickets. I'm just saying even the same ballpark. Like, if you want to see the Warriors play the Clippers, it's $90.
It's, yeah.
Which is, you know, around the league, that's probably a pretty good price for a Warriors game.
Yeah. And if you want to see the Warriors play the Lakers, it's $350.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
The only thing that makes me sad about all this is that when you scroll down to courtside for Clippers, it's still expensive.
Yeah.
So there's this weird, like... there's for each game, there's probably 50 to 100 tickets that are under $20.
Yeah.
And then as you scroll down, you get to this weird like hockey stick jump where the courtside tickets are still $500.
Yes.
If I could get courtside for 200, I would absolutely go. Like even in the same ballpark. That said, there are some, whatever that section is behind the courtside is like five rows.
I sat 4 rows behind Steve Ballmer at a Clippers game last Easter, and it was $70 a ticket.
Okay, so this is a good plan. You want to go see 2 games a month?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll make it happen. And we'll do stand-up outside for free before the games. We're going to do some busking, stand-up style.
I'll do some magic busking.
Okay, all right. You do magic busking. I'll do improv busking, and everyone will kill us without remorse.
Casey, do you have shows coming up this
week? Oh, you bet your butt I got some shows. I got a show tomorrow night.
January 2nd.
January 2nd at the Clubhouse. Bitchcoin Bitch Fest is back, baby. Cool. It's the fest. Fest number 5, 2019. It's a brand new year.
Uh-huh.
Who is ready to watch some Bitchcoin Bitch Fest?
What is the Bitch Fest?
The Bitch Fest is a fantastic show that we do every month, once a month. It is going to be a barn burner this week. We got... Who do we got here? We got a bunch of bands. What? We got bands, fucking improv team. we got Nihongo Dake.
Okay.
They are a team that does improv in Japanese.
Wow.
And they bring one guest every time who doesn't speak Japanese.
Oh. Is Juzo in this group?
No, he is not.
Oh, he should be.
He should be.
He should be in every group.
We got Hell Yeah Fucking Right. Fantastic.
This is a Boston, they speak in a Boston dialect.
Yes. Yeah. We got Funk Shuffle, cool. LA Indie Improv Darlings, and we got Bitchcoin. We're killing the game.
Cool. What time is that tomorrow at the Clubhouse?
Show's at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. And it's free?
It's free. Oh, it's free.
But if you use a discount code RO3 for Rule of Threes Podcast, the tickets are $20.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to come to the show and hear me talk about basketball, you got to pay me.
Yeah.
And then I got a show on Thursday. It's the first Logan Everett's yearbook of the year.
Oh.
And we got a really fucking good lineup for that show, too. I mean, really, truly, we are killing it. We got Pony, former UCB Herald team. We got Rat King, current UCB mess hall team. We got Some Kind of Monster, who hosts improvised Law and Order. They're a fun team.
Oh, God.
And then we're also playing that show.
What time is that?
That show is at 8 p.m.
At the Moving Arts?
At the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake.
Thursday at 7, I have magic to do at UCB Sunset.
That is right.
Come see UCB shows before it all goes out of business.
Oh, boy.
What do you have on Friday?
Friday, I don't have anything.
Friday, okay. I have Baby Wants Candy at UCB Sunset, 7:30. Right.
Come see Baby Wants Candy before UCB
goes out of business. I think that's all I have.
Great.
For the week. And I'm getting back into stand-up. Catch me at LA stand-up shows and open mics whenever you just look for the loneliest rooms possible, yes. And I'll probably be in there.
Yes. And hey, maybe I'll come through too if it's a podcast night.
Yeah. For sure.
For sure.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.